Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Hollywood Red Carpet Radio Show. And I am Debbie Perkins. I am your host. And I have an amazing guest this evening. His name is Jonathan Moody. He is a film producer. He is a writer, a director. He has a podcast, which he co-hosts as well as produces with the show, Jonathan.
Oh, hey. Well, thank you for having me.
I love it. And you've done a lot of really cool stuff. Besides doing that, what am I missing? Am I missing anything on your bio?
I'm a producer, writer, director,
yep.
Actor.
Oh,
and,
actor. Yep.
And podcast, multiple podcasts. So run a couple YouTube channels, and mainly Indie Film Cafe is the YouTube channel /podcast.
This is amazing. This is so amazing because now I remember when I first had you on, like the very last time, you were talking about Sick Flick Productions. And
Sick Flick Productions,
you,
yep.
Yeah, it's yours.
Yep.
You've done a lot
it's
of really
my,
great
my
movies,
company.
Too. That is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Now, how did you decide to become, for one, how did you decide to get into the film industry? Or was this something that you desired doing as a youth?
I mean, I always wanted to be an actor. Before then, I wanted to be a Ghostbuster, but that didn't really pan out. So I decided I wanted to be an actor so I could one day maybe be a Ghostbuster on TV. I just kind of started to do that and then I started writing at the age of like 13 or so, and
oh, wow.
12 or 13, and little TV scripts that, you know, nobody will see the light of day. Then kind of from there, I kind of went on to write other things, and then in my high school years, I decided to direct, mainly so that I could, do what I wanted to do, like the way that
That's
I wanted
awesome.
To do it.
Well, according to your IMDb, you have 19 films you produced, 12 that you directed, and you've been an actor in 21. I think that's quite an amazing accomplishment, to be honest.
I mean, as far as a lot of that goes, I mean, it's taken me years to get there, to get where I am. But yeah, I'm pretty proud of all the stuff I've done before and how, where it's led me.
That's amazing. And I'm looking at the movies that you were in, and how awesome is some of these films. A lot of them are scary, of course.
Right.
A lot of them.
Sort of what mainly I do, yeah.
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, as an actor, would you try to take on another type of challenging role, whether it be action or drama?
I wouldn't turn down an action or drama if, like, it came my way.
Yeah, it looks like you have a lot of blood in your movies. I mean, a lot of blood.
I don't really have as much
I love
as
it, though.
You would think. I actually don't have as much as you think. My stuff's more watered down than a lot of stuff because that's just me. You know, I don't like, I'm not a gore whore. You know, I don't like a lot of gore all the time, but I don't mind it. You know, it's just sort of what my, it's sort of my style is more PG-13, if anything. The only thing that makes it R-rated would be like a lot of the language. Hello, are you there? Uh-oh. Let me call. Somebody there? I can't hear you, Debbie, if you're there. Like, I literally can't hear anything. Crap. Let me try calling back in one more time. Debbie, I can't hear you. Hello? I don't know what's going on. Debbie?
Well, that was so strange. Hi, everybody. I am so sorry about that. We lost the caller, and for some strange reason, I was dropped. So let me tell him. Bear with me, everybody. I know we tried to call back in. Bear with me. Let me see. Kicking. Sorry, guys. All right. Here we go. All right, everybody. Jonathan was walking, and he's going to call back in a second here. All right, there we go. He's going to call back in. So everybody that's tuning in, I was on a show this evening earlier, and that's going to be coming out, and I can't wait. It's called Tattered, and I will let everybody know about when that goes live. But Jonathan's back, and let's bring him back on now. Sorry about
hey.
That, Jonathan. Boy,
no,
didn't we
okay.
have a paranormal moment. See, that's what happens.
No, it's not paranormal. It's Blog Talk Radio. They are literally, this is, I just realized why I left them again. It's because they always kick people off. They always mess up. I mean, and they charge you like $30. Like this is ridiculous. Like I don't support them anymore.
Yeah, and that wasn't very fair because we were just starting to get into the conversation, and it knocked me off as well. And then it took me. And I'm on the computer, so
it
took me
off, and I was still on talking. So I don't even know what
oh, how
the
weird.
Heck was going on.
And
yeah,
I'm not touching my screen, and I do have a touch screen, but I keep my hands free when I'm doing this.
Yeah, I don't.
So that's okay,
just,
though.
No,
we'll figure. I'm going to figure something else out. But
yeah.
No, you did a movie called My Girlfriend the Serial Killer, and I remember that.
We that hasn't been made yet, and I am just a producer on that now, like an executive producer on
yep.
it. And I as far as I know, I guess still credited as co-writer, which is great. But I think they're planning to do something outrageous and crazy with that movie, and I'm excited for
oh, cool.
it exactly. But I kind of left. I was going to be the co-director for it for a little bit, and then I had to move out to LA last year. Was like my time to move out to LA, and
mm-hmm.
kind of took precedence over everything I was doing, including getting work done for My Girlfriend the Serial Killer. So I had to I had to step away from directing for that, which is perfect because Samantha Marie, who's directing it, is going to knock it out of the park. And
oh,
I can't
great.
Wait. So what we kind of decided to do is she's going to concentrate on that, and I'm working on Supernatural Assassins that she's going to be in. So
oh, that's awesome. What a cool name.
And she did invite me to act in it and everything. It's just I don't have time nor money to be able to go out and, and act in it too. But I really do appreciate she. Like, I want to make sure people understand that there was no, because there was some kind of controversy at one point, whether or not, I left on bad terms or something. And the truth is, I left on great terms,
Of course. And, well, people like the drama. They just want to hear, oh, something happened.
Oh, yeah.
And if anybody knows
well,
you at all, they're going to realize you're a really nice guy. And you work
it
very
was
hard.
It was because I didn't announce that I was leaving. And I had her do it because I just didn't want too many people asking questions, to me, or whatever. And
right.
still that brought up drama. And I'm just like, all right, whatever.
Not funny.
You know?
Not funny how that happens when, yeah. And it's not like it's anything
okay
you've done.
Like I said, yeah, I had to explain to the people that were causing a little bit of the drama that it's okay, that there was nothing, no ill will toward me and Sam. Sam is
absolutely
100% happy with everything, and I am too. And she's the co-host for my show, Hard Blood and Coffee, that we do, like our show that we do together.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, we would never. It would take a lot for us to like things. So,
but you're professionals.
You know, like,
you're both professionals.
Yeah, we're professionals, also friends.
Yeah.
We're very
yeah,
friends,
and but
so,
you have
and,
a great professional relationship, just because productions change. Sometimes they
yeah
have to, in order for things to
yeah
be better.
You know,
or
people shouldn't be like, you know, actors get replaced, directors get replaced, you know, all that stuff all the time. I mean, as long I've also like I sort of kind of like that project I had been in the works of for so long and had so many ups and downs with it, you know, that I just was like ready for somebody else to take it over, you know, like, you know, I kind of view all my,
I think
they
do understand.
Like,
and
yeah,
you're
I
now,
well,
now you're
like,
in California. So now
right
things have changed a lot for you. Cause now where did you grow
I mean,
up?
I guess. Yeah. What?
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Oh, no kidding. That's really nice here.
Like,
that's really nice. Nice area. I've been to Virginia.
Yeah, it's a nice little
It's a lovely
area
place.
Yeah.
It's very
yeah
big state. If you're going
is
down from the north to the south, that's really a long direction. It takes
takes
a little while.
I don't
know. You don't know.
I don't know. It's like I always kind of noticed that like it takes about 3 or 4 hours to get to any like of the like further cities and stuff. Like
I see what you're saying.
I went to like DC, it took about 3 hours, and that's I think that's like one of the furthest cities around. So it's not huge, you know. California is a huge
right
state. Like this is, you know,
huge,
this is the
huge
state I've ever
oh
lived
my
in
gosh.
Yeah.
Now did you get to a really
Los
nice
Angeles
area
itself? Los
yeah
Angeles itself is like a state. You know, it feels like
I bet it
you
is
know
too.
There's so many cities in a city, you know. I've never even, before I moved out here, I didn't even realize that that was like a thing. I didn't realize that there were like cities in the cities, you know, like
nobody
Burbank
gave you
or
a heads up. They didn't give you a warning.
I didn't do my due diligence for a little bit of like looking up more about California. I knew like LA was big, and I knew there was like Burbank, and I knew there was like
right
you know, all those Santa Monica, all these different places, but I just, and there were so many more that I'm like, I'll pass by a sign for, you know, this place and this place, and I'm like, I've never heard of that.
Isn't
but that's
that something?
Awesome, you know,
that is it.
Yeah,
it's awesome because it creates more ideas in your mind. Did you ever get to
yeah
see the Hollywood sign? I know that's kind of a big thing for people in film to be able
I
to
got
eat,
to
see
it from
see it
the I got to see it from a couple spots. Like I've been up to
oh,
Runyon,
wow,
which is
right
like you know, the hiking area. So me and my roommate went up there. Then we also went to Griffith Park Observatory. Yeah. So you get to see like the Hollywood sign from afar. Which I mean, close up wouldn't really matter because you can't really read it when you're close up. So it's kind of cool just to be able to see it from, you know, where you're sitting, you know,
that's
or standing.
So cool. Yeah, because
yeah,
I mean the sign is gigantic, and I think they repaired it once in the past, but still, I mean, it's just it overlooks the entire town or city.
Yeah,
that's pretty
that's
amazing.
Pretty nice. So
it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So what other places have you been able to visit since you've been out west?
Weirdly enough, not as many as I probably should have by now. Because of COVID, there's been a lot of times where you really haven't been able to do a lot of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one of the places, like I went to see the Nightmare on Elm Street houses.
Oh,
the
wow
Halloween houses. So I got to see the house where I guess where the Wallace family house, and across from the Wallace family house, there's one of the other houses. I forgot the names of the people.
It's pretty.
I'm like,
that's so cool.
And then if you cross the street, I think it's might be Sunset or something. If you cross the street there, you can actually go to the Nightmare on Elm Street house. So you can see where.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so where Nancy lived. And across from there is where Johnny Depp's character lived and everything. So,
oh, my gosh.
That was
gosh.
Pretty nice. I mean, it's a
that
nice
is
little,
so cool. All in one neighborhood.
Yeah. All in
I
one
heard
neighborhood.
About that.
Yeah.
Well, I heard about that.
They said
it's quite
across from each other.
Yeah, it's quite a thing when you're there looking at it, going, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe this is our house."
It's a neat little experience because I actually went with time I went. I went with my buddy Vincent Pereira. He was coming in from Michigan and hanging out with Kevin Smith. So he was asking if he wanted to, we wanted to hang out and everything. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, I hear the Halloween house is, right by where I'm staying. And I was like, let's go check it out. So we went and checked out the Halloween house. Then he heard that the Nightmare on Elm Street house is, right across the freeway. So he was like, let's go there. Or not freeway, but highway. And then we went with my roommate and him, and we all hung out and did that. And we actually videotaped both of it. So
you did?
It's on Indie Film Cafe.
Did you get your camera out and take an opportunity to green?
You know, we took
then you can always green screen it later. You can always put it on a green screen later.
I guess it was kind of neat. It was a little cool experience. I enjoyed being there with everybody
that
doing that.
Fun.
To me, that sounds fun. A lot of fun. So
where you're a director and you've been doing this for so long, that must have been a bonus just to be able to be out there seeing that.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. It was enjoyable. I enjoy going to places. I actually drove by, and I didn't even know it until I looked up the I looked it up in the filming location. But you ever seen Can't Hardly Wait, the movie with Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, in the beginning scene, there's a graduation at football field or whatever at a high school, and the high school that they use, we drove by, and then that night, I was looking up. We were watching. My roommate and I were watching Can't Hardly Wait, Dan Scene in Forever. And I was looking up filming locations, and it was at that high school. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, wow. That must be, so amazing to be, for one, as many years as you've put into doing the filmmaking, and to be able to go to those places and physically see them, see them in person. It must have been such a high for you.
Oh, it is. There's extra features that are on some horror movies and whatnot. And so there's a horror feature thing, a special feature where they talk about horror locations, and it's called Horror Hollow Grounds. A guy I know, Sean Clark, does it, and it is amazing. What he does, he goes and finds all of the places, lets you know where they are. He talks about the children, what they're like now. I'm like, this dude needs to be on Shudder or something doing that,
That's
pretty
so cool
to me. Yeah.
It really is.
Showing off where all the horror films, somebody should give them an actual, put that as an actual TV show, not just special features. I mean, I think it was its own show, but like, I don't remember what it was on or anything, but it needs to come back and need to be on. Like I said, Shudder would be perfect for them.
Oh, the movie, you mean the movie Shudder with a ghost?
No, 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 no. The streaming channel Shudder.
Shudder.
Shudder. And these, it's a streaming app that has a bunch of awesome movies, originals, TV shows, whatever, you know?
Oh, that's so cool. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Now, have you been out there very long?
It's coming, like, November would be 10 months. You know?
Wow.
It's been almost a year.
That's still almost a year.
In January, it'll be a year. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm actually going back to Virginia in December to visit for Christmas.
Oh, you are?
I'll be there for a while, actually. I'll be from the 7th to the 29th. So I'm going to stay
awesome.
There for a little bit, catch up with people, and then go back out to L.A.
I think that's beneficial for you because, you know, you get to see your friends, your family, or
mm-hmm.
you know, whoever you can visit during covert. This covert thing has done a number on a lot of actors. Has it affected you as a little bit with your filmmaking, or is it just giving you that much of a challenge so that you can overcome?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's been little, like, hiccups and, like, you're not really supposed to be filming anything, you know, while it was happening. But people were, or people were going down to Florida to shoot
mm-hmm.
stuff or whatever, because at that time Florida was open. But now, like, everything's sort of opening back up and everything. So it's going to be a little bit, you know, like, just trying to get everything.
Yeah. What? Has it helped you with getting new ideas, different focus on what you want to film? You know, has it helped you to grow, basically?
Has COVID helped
yeah.
me grow? Not really. I mean, it's done for me beneficially is that it gave me a lot more free time. And a lot of other people, a lot more free time. So a lot more people wanted to go doing podcast stuff. However, I was like thinking about it today. I didn't really take advantage of it when it was there as much as I should have. So when people kept telling me, oh, this is a great time right now, you should look at it in a positive light because it, you know, this time that you can break away and that people have a lot of free time on their hands, that's great. But unfortunately, I did and I didn't. I did take as much advantage of it as I could, but I could have probably done more. So, you know, and that's what I'm trying to do now is just try to take advantage of what I can in my free time. And then
Absolutely.
When things start coming back up as jobs and stuff, I'm going to have to, like, you know, switch things around or work things out or whatever.
And it's going to happen fast. I think that when this all comes to a final, it's going to happen fast. And there's going to be movies. There's going to be a lot of new movies out.
Well, I say that, but like you say that, and that might be the truth. But I have this feeling things are going to change a lot. Theaters, and specifically like real movie theaters.
Yes.
I have this feeling they're gonna take a nosedive, and things are gonna have to start kind of, you know, they're not gonna be able to make movies for like $100 million anymore, you know, because people. Like right now, people can't go to the theaters. Theaters are shutting down because people, you know, they can't have, you know, the people there or whatever.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's just
yep.
like because people have to socially distance and a lot of people don't want to get COVID right now. So people are
no.
just kind of, you know, they're not wanting to go out in public and everything. And so, I mean, it's one of those things where you gotta be very careful, you know, and
I believe
that the films are gonna change, you know. So things are going to have to change because they're not going to be able to make as much money unless they do switch to the digital format, but they're going to have to charge like, Disney charged like $30 for Mulan. And that was a big jump because everybody else was charging $20 for their movies. So for them to do that, like, I don't know how much money they made, you know, but like for them to do that, people did pay. I know a lot of people who paid $30 to watch it, you know. So the problem is if people pay that
much. Yeah, they're trying
much,
to balance, you think, Jonathan? Do you think,
well,
people are trying to balance the grand loss? Because they would sell, well, gosh, when a movie came out to the theater, it sold thousands and thousands and thousands of tickets. And do you think that they'll be converted mostly over to discs, or do you think it's going to be more on the where you can upload it on your computer and watch it?
Oh, it's going to be streaming, which is like Netflix and Disney Plus and
yeah,
and VOD, video on demand. Not where you can download it necessarily, but where you can rent it for like $20. And you can watch it, you know.
Right.
The problem with a lot of that is, like, I mean, I know me personally, I'm not going to spend $20 to watch a movie for one day, you know.
No.
Yeah. Me personally, I'm not going to. If me and some friends decided to go in on it or something and pay like $20, you know, and like spend like $5 each, and four of
right,
us did that, maybe. But, like, really, I don't know. It's really hard these days because, you know, like, so many people, you know, I mean, so many people like me, I go to the movies by myself. So I like deals, you know.
Oh, sure.
When I went to, I used to go to Regal, and I'm still part of their, like, unlimited plan. And they just charged me, which is ridiculous because because I haven't been able to go to the theaters, and then they shut back down. So they should like reimburse me the money.
They should.
But
they should definitely reimburse.
And of course I can't get in touch with them because I sent them a message, no reply. And
oh,
I tried calling, and like, they say no operators are available at this time because of COVID. So I'm like, great. You know, how the heck am I going to get my money back for, you know, that, but whatever. Anyway, the point is,
oh, I hear,
like,
what you're saying.
You know, you're not able to go to theaters because theaters are shutting down because they realize a lot of the movies are pulling themselves from the theaters because they will do better on, you know, through, you know, they'll do better on VOD. They'll do better streaming on Amazon, you know.
I hear you.
You know,
I think you make a good point there because I did notice, like, a lot more movies are going to Netflix. They're going to Cinemax. They're going to HBO. They're actually taking their and seems to be more of a trend-setting thing with TV. Well, they're not TV. They're movie. Well, they are now TV, but they're like the Game of Thrones or anything that's seasonal. Like they do seasons, like The Walking Dead.
Right.
Those shows are specifically on a particular channel, and the only way you can, some of them you'd actually have to purchase, but then they, some of them just, if you have to pay for the channel, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, but, you know, so like all the channels, like, are doing it, you know. I actually am paying, what, like $10 a month or so, or whatever it is, for Showtime. I pay $15
yeah,
bucks per month for HBO Max. You know, I'm a big, strong, a lot of people, especially in the indie horror community, and I love them to death, and I love everybody who's in the indie horror community, but a lot of them, they're all like, I want physical media, I want DVDs, and, you know, freaks, some of them want VHSs and stuff of the movies, you know what I mean? And I
yeah,
love that. Like, I love it to death. I will buy, I have, like, every month we, Paul and I, my co-host for Indie Film Cafe, will do, like, a haul video where we talk about the movies we got this week, you know?
Oh, cool.
Or whatever. Like, I love that stuff, like 100%. But I'm also a streaming person. I like to watch things on Showtime. I'm a big television guy. I've always been a big television guy since I was a kid. You know, I love television. I love movies. I love all of it. So,
what type of stuff
you know,
were you drawn to? What type of shows were you drawn to?
As a kid, I was drawn to like sitcoms and kid stuff. Like every Friday night I watched TGIF. Every Saturday night I watched SNCC. You know,
you like to laugh. I take it those are all fun shows to watch to laugh.
Yeah, TGIF had like Full House and Boy Meets World and Step by Step and Family Matters.
All
you
funny
know,
shows
and
yeah.
stuff. Yeah, all funny shows. And then SNCC had like Clarissa Explains It All and had it had like Roundhouse and
Right. Yeah.
Are You Afraid of the Dark, which was my absolute favorite TV show growing up.
Oh my god!
So.
Did you ever watch HBO, the Crypt Keeper?
Tales from the Crypt. When I was a kid, we didn't have HBO. So I was never able to watch Tales from the Crypt, but all my friends did, and I was always kind of jealous. So
I
was
never
able
to
watch it. So
now
yeah,
you
so
can make whatever you want with horror. I love that.
Yeah. I never asked to like go over to people's houses, which I probably should have, but I never.
You could have.
I was very much
quiet.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I very much hung out by myself a lot. And it wasn't like I didn't like my friends. I've just always sort of been the kind of guy that. I've always been a writer, so I've always been kind of a recluse. You know,
right.
I like to be by myself and have time by myself and. If people want to hang out with me, great. I'll hang out with them. But if, like my roommate will go out or something, you know, and I have the house to myself, I'm 100% happy. You know, like, I'm 100% cool. Like,
it's Jonathan just, time.
Yeah,
Jonathan
time. It's writing time. I mean, sometimes, yeah, I get a little lonely or whatever, but, like, most of the time, like, It's not lonely when I'm, like, doing stuff, you know? Like,
right.
I'm constantly watching movies, or I'm constantly doing podcasts, or I'm constantly writing. You
yeah,
know?
You
so
do.
I'm constantly doing
You've been doing
something.
Your podcast, which is really cool. Tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Well, I run, like, 12 of them right now. Something like that. Something crazy. Maybe a little less than that. But it feels like 12. It started with the Independent Corner radio show back in 2006, and that lasted. And then I did a spinoff show to start with called Frights of the Roundtable, and that's still going on. We're actually making, I guess you'll be the first to hear it, but we're going to make an announcement today around,
oh, nice.
Like after the show's done, saying that
mm-hmm.
that show's coming back, you know, for another
so cool.
season. So. That would be in January. Then after that, I got Indie Film Cafe was the show that really, like, that kind of got me where I'm at podcast-wise because my friend Paul and I, we love watching bad movies, you know, or not just bad movies, but, like, you know, horror or some, like, I don't know, goofy movies or whatever, you know? And we used to talk about them all the time. And I was like, why don't we just do a podcast about it? And he was like, that's a great idea. I always want to do a podcast. So we were both like, let's do this podcast together. And we started this thing, Indie Film Cafe. It's still going on and actually has a bunch of shows that we host or co-host.
That's
you
amazing.
Know? Yeah.
What a difference in when the first time I interviewed you to today. It like so much growth that you've so many things you've done. It's incredible.
I would hope so because like otherwise like I feel like if you're not growing in some way or another, like there's no point to what you're doing. I mean There's so you know what I mean? Like if you're not
you're not
growing as an artist, you know.
Right.
Then you're just being the same person. Like I'm not gonna say who, but there's a filmmaker who like he doesn't grow, you know. He does the same thing, and when nobody likes it, everybody says these films are terrible. And when they try to kind of give him some advice, advice on how to fix his stuff and make it better for an audience, he's like, "Nope, I got it. I'm gonna make it the way I want to make it." And I said a piece, and he blocked me from Facebook. So if anybody says anything to that person, they get blocked. You know?
Yeah.
And who doesn't want
constructive criticism, honestly?
As long as it's constructive. I mean, if you just went and said that movie sucked that you made and then don't give them any kind of like advice on, you know, why it was not good. I mean, it takes a lot, honestly, for somebody as an artist to let go of their ego and admit when they're wrong, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean we have to be right, you know, the other people who say this, but it just means like if everybody's saying it, you know, then maybe there's a problem. And I have that same thing too, is there's a lot of times people say the same thing to me sometimes, and I have to just let go of my ego and start listening to people. And when I listen to people, better things happen, you know? And that's how I view it.
Your craft is, your audience is the people that give you the information that help you to do things better so that you can rethink it out. And you know, I mean, I'm sure you experienced that throughout your years of production that, you know, not everything's for everyone. That's the thing,
right,
too. You know, not everything.
Yeah, I mean, look, well, not everything's for everyone. That's true. That's 100% true. However, I believe that there are certain things that you have to put in a film to just make it for anyone, you know? Not just the actors you're paying or putting them in your movie or whatever.
Right.
Sometimes they don't, a lot of indie films, they don't get paid. They're just doing it because they love the movies and they want to act and they want to get their resumes up, right? And understandable. But, like, you have to put in good storylines, interesting characters, something interesting going on. Like, if you're going to have two people talking, walking around a video store or something, you know, which I don't – I'm just saying that, but, like, there are no video stores anymore, really. They're not many.
No, they're all
gone.
But if
you're going to have, like, them walking around a video store talking to each other, you better make that an interesting part of the plot, not just talking to talk, you know. Not everybody can be Quentin Tarantino where they put two mobsters in a freaking car and have them talk about random shit. Like, only Tarantino can be Tarantino, you know.
And
I don't ever strive to be him. You know, like, I love Tarantino, I love Kevin Smith, I love, you know, Robert Rodriguez, I love all those guys, but I would never try to be them. I try to be myself, you know, and it took me a long time to kind of figure out who I was, you know what I mean?
I think
and
that's
so,
important.
Yeah,
absolutely.
100% important.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is great to idolize and have people that inspire you.
Exactly, but you can't make a movie without your own voice. See, a lot of people joke on Tarantino because Tarantino makes a lot of movies, like people say he rips them off from other movies, these things. But see, that's his voice, you know what I mean? Somebody can rip off he can rip off Jean-Luc Godard. Because the people that are going to watch his movies probably never seen a Jean-Luc Godard movie, you
right?
know, and stuff. And if they have, then they go, oh, my God, that's really cool that he did that as an homage. Because nobody else is doing it, you know?
Oh, sure.
And if I
went
around and I started completely ripping off Tarantino, everybody would know that I was ripping off Tarantino or Kevin Smith or any of these guys who actually have their own voice. you know? So, like, I admire that. Eli Roth, I was just listening to an interview with him. I absolutely adore his work, everything he's ever done, even Death Wish, which a lot of people have didn't like or something for some reason. I really enjoyed it. And I love the guy to death. And he has his own voice, you know? And I love that. Like, Cabin Fever, I remember being in the theater watching Cabin Fever, you know?
Yeah.
And stuff. So, like, it... that was about the time that I was really getting back into horror films and everything. And I watched that movie going, mainly because freaking Ryder Strong was in it from Boy Meets World. And so I wanted to see him do a horror film, you know?
You can still watch that movie. That movie is still available to watch.
All movies should still be available to watch.
Especially real good classic murder stories.
Yeah, and Cabin Fever, Hostel was fantastic. I mean, Eli Roth did some Green Inferno. I mean, a lot of people knock on that movie too, but that was his homage to Cannibal Holocaust. I won't watch that movie. I've heard too many stories about it, and I respect it in a way, but I just won't watch it.
What is your style of movie? Because you've done quite a few. What is the style that you like to work with?
A lot of my other stuff hasn't been with the style that I'm going to be doing now. But right now I'm doing transmedia. That's sort of my style. And what it is it's like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The Marvel movies, Avengers, Iron Man, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know how they all take place in like basically the same universe. Some of the people cross over and you see a lot of the same characters that like Thor may pop up in Hulk may pop up in Thor. And Thor may pop up in Captain America or something, whatever.
Yes, they do that.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Like a cross promotion.
That's sort of what I wanna do, but with horror. I'm working on Supernatural Assassins. That's going to be the first one. It's going to introduce a lot of characters that are going to eventually have their own little spinoff movies, TV shows, comic books.
That's a good idea.
That's
a good idea.
Short films, web series, everything. So we're just going to start putting a lot of content out there starting next year. We're going to build like a website that'll have all the listing of all the characters. I'm connecting it to the Sick Flick TV a lot. So I'm creating my own Roku channel that launches January
1st.
Oh,
that's amazing.
And so I have my own channel, which is this year alone has given me a lot of, I wrote about it a couple days ago, but it's given me a lot of like things off my bucket list, you know? And one of the things on my bucket list was I wanted to be in an Asylum movie. The Asylum's the guys who do like Sharknado and
That would
and
be
so
cool.
Well,
oh,
it's already
that.
Happened.
Yeah, really?
On my birthday of this year, January 12th, I got a call from a guy who works or a message from a guy who works at the Asylum, and he asked me to come in and play a role. As well as he wanted me to be a production assistant. But then I ended up acting the whole time instead of production.
That's so cool. Well, because your stuff and you're really good. So
yeah, and I got to have a scene with Eric Roberts. You can
watch
it on Amazon Prime.
Eric Roberts.
You can watch it on
he's quite a character.
Amazon Prime. It's called Collision Earth. If you ever get a chance to watch it, I highly recommend it. It's sort of
absolutely.
Fun. You like shows like meteors going to collide with Earth, and we have such a time to stop this from like destroying the world, you know, kind of thing, you know.
Neat.
If you like that, you'll enjoy that movie.
I do like those. And they've been popular for a while too.
Yeah. Speaking of also popular, I just acted with my roommate. We got a call to act as a extra. So I wasn't I didn't have any lines. I hope you see my face in it. I don't know, it hasn't come out yet, but there's a movie don't know what they're going to end up calling it or whatever. I'll let you know more later, you know?
Yeah.
But
that
it was
great.
I was in a funeral home in a Lifetime movie. So
really?
I got to be in a Lifetime movie as well. So two things off my bucket list. And that was like right after people started opening up for COVID. So like, I had to do the test, you know, which, you know, I had to get tested for COVID,
yeah.
Which meant you had to get, well, nowadays they've got it like all kind of worked out where all they need is like a swab of your nose or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But back, I heard in the beginning, it was like they had to go up your nose and down your throat and all this stuff.
Right.
And I was like scared to death. Like I thought that was what they're going to have to do. And I do not do well when things go up my nose, you know. So I was like,
oh, I don't blame you.
But
yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Thankfully, it wasn't that bad. And
putting
the beauty was we had to do it right next to where a beach was. So we went to the beach, and me and my roommate just lay down and relax right after. So it was like, it was definitely a really cool experience. And then
but it's
we
a relief.
That, and that was a lot of fun.
I bet it's still a relief to get that test out of the way for you.
Well, I mean, at the time, but like the problem with doing this test is. Yeah, I could have gotten the test and it came back as whatever, but I could have picked up COVID the next minute, you know. I mean, they need to get it where the tests are that day that you're shooting, because if you just test like, you know, if you just test and it goes, okay, you're negative, and then the next week
you're exposed
shooting,
to someone. Yeah.
Yeah, you're exposed to somebody who has COVID. You don't know. Nobody knows. Like, that's the scariest thing about this
disease.
That's
the only thing about that. You don't.
So, I mean,
and I'm wondering how many people will try to make a movie.
Thing.
Yeah, I'm wondering how many people will make a movie based on this COVID.
Oh, yeah. There already was. It wasn't about COVID itself, but there was a movie that you can watch. If you have HBO, you could definitely watch it. But if you get a chance to see, it's called Contagion, and I highly recommend it because it is basically what, like, this was made in like 2000 and I want to say 12 or 13 or something, and
oh my goodness,
like pretty, I mean, it is spot on down to the fact that it was a bat
wow.
That the guy that somebody ate that caused
oh my
the
gosh.
Whole thing. So
isn't that weird?
The weirdest. No, I mean, people are telling me, like, you need to watch movies if you kind of want to see what the truth is going on there. Because, like, the government, I feel like, kind of tells you these things and, you know,
yeah.
ahead of time. You know what I mean? Because they hire people
yeah.
to make these movies about what's actually going on so that, you know,
so it softens the blow.
We're well prepared.
Yeah, so we're not freaking out. I think that that's the norm now, is that they prepare us mentally for stuff. It's basically, you know, tuning us out so we're not, like with all the zombie movies and whatever, you know, we're getting programmed basically to not be affected by, you know what I'm saying? So what does it look like for you in the near future? Because we're down to like the last
10 minutes. I as far as like my main concentration is, I'm running an Indiegogo right now. It's going to be for the next like 20 days or so. Funny thing is it ends like the day after the election. So, okay. Whatever that means. but like Indiegogo, and then, so I've got that going. It's an Indiegogo for Supernatural Assassins and Six Flick TV. And we're trying to raise money. So that basically my next plan of action, I've got a line producer who's going to make a budget and create all these things. And then we're going to start trying to get Supernatural Assassins made. That's one of our next things.
That's going to be amazing.
Also, that's going to actually get made first before Supernatural Assassins is a pilot for a comedy series that I wrote my friend Mackenzie Kelly is directing. It'll be her first like directorial project. And so she's really excited about that, but we're making this movie or this show called Man Cave. And so we're just trying to get all our ducks in a row. You know, we're going to have a meeting sometime this week or next week, early next week, for to just get things rolling for it, you know. And we're also doing Indiegogo for that one as well. So when that'll launch the day after the last day of the Cyclic Productions one, or Cyclic TV one. So it'll be like November 5th, I believe, is when we launch the Man Cave one.
That's really cool.
So
good for her. Congratulate her for us. That's amazing.
Okay, I definitely will. She's right now, she's lucky for, well, not lucky, she got a lot of work to do, but she's doing some work because she's a makeup girl. She's doing some work,
oh,
and
wow.
She decided to take some time out doing that stuff. So I'll tell her when she gets back. You know, she's on
so what's your
work vacation.
And what else do you have on the fire right now?
I mean, really, that's it. Supernatural Assassins and Man Cave are my only two, like, big things, you know, that I'm working on. I mean, there's a couple things that'll come out through Cyclic TV. Cyclic TV, well, in the beginning will be small. There won't be a lot of content on there. But, you know, it'll keep getting bigger and bigger as things go.
That's great to know. It truly
yeah.
is. That's really cool. Now, where is is your podcast tonight?
Well, we're recording one tonight. And
okay.
If you go to Indie Film Cafe at on YouTube, you can see a bunch of videos I've done. Or, you know, I'm working right now. I'm doing a thing called 31 Days of Indie Horror. So for all of October, once a day, I'll be reviewing a movie. So we just had day 15. Tomorrow is day 16. You know, and whatnot, and then all the way up to 31. So all the way
that's
up to
so cool.
Halloween, I'm reviewing movies and stuff.
That's awesome. If anybody
yeah.
should do it, it should be you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well,
I don't know
you,
if that's
just,
100% accurate, but
you're so talented, though.
I enjoy watching these things. I have special guests who join me for like through Zoom, so some of them watch the movies, and then you know. Do something on it. Sometimes I'm just by myself, and a lot of those are just shorter, you know.
And just giving your input on the different, yeah, giving your input of what you like about it and what you think could be better, or that's so cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well,
you know what? I think that helps people.
I try not to be like over, you know. Like, I try not to bash anyone for their films
right.
and stuff because, like, I know how hard it is to, like, just make a movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've made a movie, period, and it's, like, cohesive enough, you know, like, people can follow along with it, it's not confusing, you know, I say that's, like, the best, you know? But if, you know, but if you're boring, you know, I mean, I'm going to call you out on it, you know? Like, you know, that's, for me, it doesn't work sometimes in other people, but sometimes people like boring. I don't know. And people are into it. So
I think that it's more like a soft horror. It's not
I mean,
so,
yeah.
It's not so bloody. Some people like that. I guess it'd be more like a soft horror opposed to hardcore.
It depends. It depends. Sometimes just people are just a little bland with their storytelling. And, you know,
that's
okay.
True.
I mean, whatever.
Yep,
that's
all good.
That's up to them. But, you
it's
know, the problem with making movies, period, is that it's about the audience. It's not about the artist. You know,
right.
If you want to make a movie and then never show it to somebody, that's one thing. If you want to blow all your money and never show it to somebody. But if you want an audience there, you're going to have to deal with the fact that you're going to get critiqued for
right.
it, you know, and everything.
And that
so,
should
I mean,
be a good learning lesson, too.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, it's like that one filmmaker. If you make a boring movie that nobody likes, you know, then I would suggest trying to change what you're doing. But, you know, if you're happy with what you're doing, go for it. You know, whatever. I mean, I can't, you know, as long as you're happy, you know.
That's right.
Then do what you're doing. I mean.
That's right.
I don't know. Probably. people have not liked my movies, you know. So, I mean, which I like them, but I can also see, you know, I can see issues, you know, everybody
That's
can.
Okay. That's all good. That's what makes you grow and do better. Where
yeah.
can everybody get in touch with you, Jonathan?
You can email me at indiefilmcafe@gmail.com or you can check us out on indiefilmcafe.reviews. That's my podcast thing. There's not a site for Sick Flick Productions yet. There might be one for Sick Flick TV coming up, but not right now. So, yeah, that's, I mean, pretty much it right now. There's really nothing,
awesome.
You know, like.
Well, I'm grateful that you came on and talked about everything tonight. Thank you for sharing your career and your stories with us. We'll definitely have
you
back on, Jonathan. I really appreciate you coming and telling us everything. This is great. You have a great night.
I appreciate you asking me to come on and everything. This is a fun little chat.
I always think of you as a friend, so I love this. Oh,
thank you. Same here, no matter what.
All right, awesome. Well, have a great night, and thank you so much. And
okay,
I want
have
to
a
thank,
great night yourself.
Thank you, dear. I want to thank everybody for listening to Jonathan Moody, film director, and the Hollywood Red Carpet Radio Show, and we will see you again on Sunday. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Have a great night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you.